as between 8 o'clock and 9 p.m. tonight. Musi Mahlambi is with us for the next 2 hours, of course. And you can send us a voice note to 08610 10300 later on for that section of our show. For now, though, he's the director in the dispute resolution practice at Klifdekker Hofmeyr. And his name is Santabale Makara, who's joining us on the line. If you checked, Mr. Makara, by the way, is has formed part of the list of over 200 or under 200 influential persons in South Africa by Mail and Guardian just in the recent past. And we are pleased to have him joining us tonight. Good evening, Mr. Makara. Welcome to Vuma FM. I think he's muted himself there, Muzi. While we're trying to get to Mr. Makara on the line, government is moving to...
Hello, Baupotwana. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. You're here now. Thank you so much, Baba. Good evening. Welcome to Vuma FM.
Welcome to... Thank you. Thank you very much. And welcome to you, to the listeners as well, and greetings to them all as well.
You're based in Johannesburg, aren't you?
Yes. Oh. Between Johannesburg and our other office in Cape Town as well.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. You aren't experiencing the beautiful weather we have here in the Zulu Kingdom. So sorry to hear that.
Look, I must tell you, so every time I've gone to KZN, yeah, the time that it actually is raining, or there's always the light rain, if not a heavy rain, every time I've been there. Maybe now that you've said this, the ancestors will make sure there is a nice sunny day and for once.
We are so spoiled. You know, you speak about a sunny day. We just had one. We had one today and then there was rain. I don't know what's happening outside now, but all I know is just we are spoiled, man. It's a beautiful weather. So government is moving to strengthen protections for whistleblowers like South Africa, with the president having announced during the State of the Nation address that the proposed whistleblower protection bill will prioritize criminalizing retaliation and improving support for those who expose wrongdoing. Now, this bill is expected to place clear legal obligations on employers to create a safe, independent reporting system, signaling a shift from policy commitment to now enforceable protection. So we've called you to discuss what this would mean in practice, Mr. Makara, as a director of dispute resolution practice at Klifdekker Hofmeyr. Now, how significant is this proposed bill in changing that reality that we have in this country?
Look, it's very significant, and it's something that we've been waiting for it to start gaining momentum. The current protections for whistleblowers covers an employer-employee relationship. It doesn't consider third parties, independent contractors, and other people, for example, even a job seeker, that might come across information that might be valuable. Yes, we have protections, for example, for witnesses in criminal proceedings, but there's various other things, for example, that are picked up in the context of what a whistleblower would be understood internationally and what they enjoy as a protection that you would not ordinarily see protected in the current whistleblower legislation that we have, which is the Protected Disclosures Act.
You know, I'm an independent contractor myself, and one of the underlying themes among this kind of work is that we are so easily disposable. What kind of actions by employers, our employers, could now become criminal offenses? We spoke of retaliation for those who are reporting wrongdoing. Now, the criminalization of retaliation is seemingly a major shift. But the question is, what kind of actions by employers could now become criminal offenses?
The reality of the matter is that the current legislation doesn't provide a confidentiality, an obligation for you not to disclose the identity of a whistleblower. Hmm. So one of the things that we expect the bill will cover is the fact that now there will be a criminalization should you breach confidentiality, should you also retaliate in the sense that you start ostracizing that employee or running processes on them in the examples we've seen. Mm. There's sometimes personal loss, of course.
Yeah.
There's harm sometimes that suffered, but there's also harm in the pocket sometimes,
yeah,
of it would be employers, if we're talking on an employer-employee relationship. But there's also the understanding that there's also the protection that needs to come in the sense that many employers and employees are forced to continue working with the accusers. And obviously there's the byproducts of that, that we've made. There's a myriad of examples we've read about in the media about how those manifest.
Mm. Does the bill go far enough to protect whistleblowers from these risks that they face? You spoke about the financial ruin and also the personal safety threats as well.
There's the hope, because Umongameli has raised a very important part. To say that one of the things that he wants to look at, and this bill will cover, is compensation. And this is a very big step in our context, because for one, we anticipate that it will first and foremost recognize the fact that in you being a whistleblower, you might lose your job. You might have to be away from family at times, which means there's support that needs to. What happens when it's a breadwinner? These are things that we've written about, to say one of the things that's an impact, and many organizations dealing with whistleblowing, very noble organizations within our country that work in this area, have also recognized the fact, to a point where they try and support and provide some stipend to whistleblowers during their time. Because one of the things that has also quite significantly happened is that where whistleblowers have found themselves in a situation being dragged to court, having to defend themselves because they've been exposed as being the leak or the person that provided the information. The worst, God forbid, the other scenario that happens where whistleblowers get killed, for example, or suffer harm. And that's where now this compensation idea starts finding fish, and we hope some elements of it will start dealing with some of these issues. We don't know what form it will take, but we anticipate from the documents, the myriad of documents we've been sending to highlight some of the gaps in it, it will start dealing with some of these topics.
Now, employers are expected to implement independent and confidential reporting channels. I just had a naughty thought there, Mr. Makara, that our suggestion box here at work is under a CCTV camera. How many organizations are realistically prepared for this?
Look, the lawyer in me is going to say it might be under the suggestion box, might be under the camera, unless there's one document a day in that suggestion box. Can you really prove it's mine that you are reading at that time? But that being said, yes, definitely something that becomes an issue. Many companies, as we do, for example, here at CDH that we assist, develop policy, whistleblower policies that strengthen and fill the gaps that, for example, the protected disclosure currently doesn't add. We hope that the tenets of the new legislation will further provide a guideline to employees where it's now not an optional extra, an opt-in and opt-out, where it's now actually legislated that they must have these kind of policies and protections, and also develop systematic mechanisms to protect themes like confidentiality, measures to provide protected and make sure that the anonymity of a person is protected and kept confident. It's similar to how, for example, you as a journalist would enjoy when you have a source, for example, and you can't be prosecuted for refusing to reveal your confidential source.
Let's get to the consequences now. If a company fails then to protect a whistleblower, what consequences could it face under this new framework, Mr. Makara?
Twofold. Remember, a company is not like you and me, it doesn't have flesh. It has actors within it that represent it and give life to it. So the company in itself, because it can't be arrested, is likely to receive a penalty. One of the things that is promised, or we anticipate with the bill when it comes, when it's first rolled out, is that those penalties will be much harsher. And then obviously for the actors within those companies that actually actively perpetrate, where the company is found to have malfeasance, they might be exposed to criminal liability. And the good thing about this is that it's a step further, that because if it's a protected disclosure in terms of the bill, it could be categorized as a higher standard for criminal liability on the basis that now you've actually breached anonymity of a whistleblower, or for example, you've harmed or you've retaliated against a whistleblower. So those are some of the elements that we are hoping that this will feature in this bill.
I just mentioned earlier in our intro that there's always a private company involved doing business with government. From a government's perspective, how important do you see it being in terms of protecting, in tackling corruption and misconduct in both public and private sector? How important is whistleblower protection in that kind of context?
Look, it goes back to the obligations we have. You must remember, one of the things that we have an obligation with is that we need to create an environmental and social governance system that is compliant. Now, in doing business with government in South Africa needs to always have these ESG disclosures quite available to it, and making sure there's an impact on the environment, social responsibility, and good governance. It also, in the tendering game, creates an equal playing field, where, for example, you also encourage this malfeasance to be reported. So having a measure which protects people from reporting where these things are not complied with, or where there's infringement of procurement laws or any of our laws in a government context when dealing with government, or even private to private, is actually a step in the right direction and starts meeting the international standards already expected of all citizens in the country, including its companies.
Perhaps one should have started with this before we let you go. There's always this, perhaps from critics or others who are commenting on the laws that exist, that the current laws protecting whistleblowers in this country are fragmented, and this bill is sort of seen as one that brings them all together and more. Some critics would argue that they already exist, but the enforcement is the real problem. Will this legislation make a practical difference, Mr. Makar?
I think the step in the right direction is something you said, very significant. Hopefully the legislation will start consolidating all these fragmented legislations that deal with pockets of what should be in a whistleblower legislation. The reason for it, then, it means that it's a one-stop shop where you can read, because some of the times it's not a matter that law enforcement is slow, or that it's a matter of understanding and knowing where to look and what to look for.
Yeah.
So sometimes having a legislation where everything can be found in one legislation could assist in the understanding and rolling out of the training for the legislation so that it can be implemented properly. But more importantly, also making it user-friendly becomes a very important tenet, because you don't want to, we don't live in a culture where you create legislation for it to be read by lawyers. You see?
What do you mean?
Yeah, sorry, I interjected.
Yeah, sorry, I was wondering now, as we end, we just got 1 minute, the steps you'd suggest organizations be taking now to also prepare. Do you sort of, perhaps adding to that, expect the budget to kind of make pronouncements with regards to, should the bill be able to protect financial interests of those who will be blowing the whistle, then there should be funds allocated, as we let you go back?
Look, there are interest organizations for this, and we certainly, as practitioners in the area, are also looking at it. One of the best things we can do for ourselves as a citizenship as well is to, when this legislation, like any other legislation, gets rolled out for commentary, to actively comment on it and be able to give it meaningful considerations on those things, like the topic you are raising of how much money will be required to be rolled out, what kind of issues it must cover. It starts with the phase of us being responsible citizens, and actually when the commentary stage gets rolled out, we actually immediately start commenting on it and making sure that it speaks to what the citizenry's requirements are and what our current social problems are. Like, for example, we've seen with the protections in other legislations that have been raised, you've seen with the other education legislations and the healthcare legislations as well. Commentary stage is very important in legislation, preparing legislation rollout.
Mr. Makara, because of time, we're going to have to draw the curtain here, but thank you so much for your time this evening on Vuma FM.
Thank you very much, sir. Much appreciated. Thank you for having us.
He's the director in the dispute resolution practice at Clifton Kerhoff Meyer, Mr. Center.